Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light, save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light, won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Against the Lord, belong to Jesus and you are a child of God, victory belongs to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What an awesome understanding that we can have that we are victorious. Hallelujah. The Bible says he causes us to triumph, meaning he makes us win. Goodness gracious. He makes us win. How can we lose? I heard somebody say back in the 70s, how can we lose with the stuff we use? And we got Jesus on our side. Amen. There's no way we can lose. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We honor God today. Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, thank you.
Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen Ann Butterfield. Mm-hmm. We are so excited that you are here tonight. Amen. Mm-hmm. We pray God will bless you and meet you at the point of your need tonight.
That's right.
Amen. We're not here for formal fashion or for fame or nothing else, but for God to meet you at the point of your need. Amen. Whatever you need tonight, God's got it.
Amen.
And if God's got it, oh, my God, you can have it.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is reach out in faith, and you don't have to grab it, but you can have it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. God has something for you tonight. And we're so excited. We are Sister Pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where our co-founder is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, and our senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We are so excited for what God is doing in our midst.
Amen.
I'm telling you, Light of the World, we're going somewhere. We're doing some things. God is moving in our midst.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And don't get left behind. Don't get run over. Amen. What an awesome class we had today.
Amen.
Amen. About the church and leadership.
Yes,
I'm
Lord.
Telling you, oh, my God, if you have not been inspired or encouraged by what you heard today, there is something wrong with you. We need to get a fibrillator.
Mm-hmm.
Put on your chest and say, clear, boom, to wake you up. Because I'm telling you, we had some great instruction today that would take us on, amen, higher and higher in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank God for what he's done with us. Mm-hmm. Light of the World, if you want to tune in and share with us, if you're not in the city, amen, you can go to comingtothelight.org and go to our live stream, or you can go to YouTube, type in Light of the World Christian Tabernacle, and then you will get press that, and you will take you to our service that says live now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, we're Sunday morning, we're live on Sunday school at 9 a.m., and then our full worship service at 10 a.m., and then on Wednesday night, we have Word Up Wednesday.
Yes,
man,
yes.
I'm telling you, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what other churches are doing, but man, I tell you, God is really
Amen.
Leading us and giving us some good stuff
yes.
that we can
Amen.
Live by.
Amen.
Amen. And we'll be able to impact this world, because our vision is to see this world without darkness. And how we do that? One person at a time. Hallelujah. And we can only do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so we thank God for what he's doing with us. We had our games at the gym today, and we also had people in there encouraging people to register to vote. And we are able to help somebody today to get registered to vote. We need to go to the polls.
Yes.
And not at the strip club, but at the polls, the voting
polls.
Amen. And get our job done. Amen. And do what we have to do in this day and time. It's a travesty that so many less African Americans are voting. We need to go ahead and vote and stop complaining. Amen. And make your vote count. And we also endeavor to go after those people who are incarcerated and who are waiting for bail, who are waiting for their trial. They have the right to vote, so we're going to go after them so we can get them registered so they can vote.
Amen.
Amen. We're trying to get everybody that we can to go to the polls and get registered to vote and vote. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to make some changes.
Amen.
I mean, we can't just sit down and complain and cry. We need to get where we need to make some changes. So tonight
Amen.
We thank God for what he's doing. Amen. We had some games there, and we had a great time there. But we thank God tonight we are geared up, and we are on the way tonight to hear a word from the Lord.
Amen.
Because when the Lord speaks, oh, my God, something happens. Just a word, just one word from God, amen, will change our entire destiny.
Yes,
So we thank God tonight. We got a well able young man tonight, and I'm going to bring him live tonight. Minister Joseph Jones, you are now live on the air.
Good afternoon, Pastor Butterfield. And,
good evening. How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Good.
All right, great to hear from both of you all. Pastor Butterfield, I'm glad you clarified about the poll because you don't want people to make, you want to make sure they understand. I thank God for that. And
yes,
we just want to say greetings to all the listeners out there tonight. We thank God for you all to take time out to give God some time to hear the word. And we thank you all. And we thank our sister pastors, Stephen and Ann Butterfield, to allow God to use them for this platform to bring guests on weekly, Lord, to hear those to speak. So every Saturday night, if you don't have anything to do or you just want to hear the word, just tune in every Saturday night. Someone will be on this air to bring you the word of God. And we thank you all for tonight. So we want to get right into the word. It's going to be taken from the King James Version, St. John, chapter 2, verses 13 and 16. And then we're going to turn over to Luke 19, 45 and 46. And we'll be reading out the King James Version. John 2, 13 and 16 reads as follows. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a score of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and pulled out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Luke 19, 45 and 46 reads, again in the King James Version, and he went up into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word, Lord God. We thank you for the opportunity to speak. Lord, hide me behind you, O Lord, that you will get all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory, and let someone be healed, delivered, and set free by this word. And God, we thank you, Lord, for the listeners. Lord, send a special blessing to them who took time out to hear this word, God. And we thank you, Lord, for, again, this platform. We thank you for life, health, and strength. And we thank you most of all for salvation and your son being obedient to the cross. Lord, use us, guide us, and direct us, Lord. Let this word speak to someone's spirit today, oh God, that you will get the glory. And Father, that you will get the honor and the praise. And again, we'll give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I'd like to use tonight for a topic. Clean this house from the inside out. Now, that'll make you feel something there, as Pastor Butterfield said, something wrong with you. After reading this scripture, clean this house from the inside out. In 2013, Isaac Tyree wrote a song called Clean This House. And the writer was simply saying to God he wanted the Lord to clean him up from the inside out and restore him and take away his impurities. See, as Christians and sinners alike, there's an honorable petition before God. But before God can do anything with us, first of all, we must have a responsibility to him to repent, and knowing that we were doing wrong. Then secondly, we have to come to the point that we know that if we need a change from the inside out, the only person can complete this task is Jesus himself. Many times we ask God to answer our prayers, and we pray for a whole lot of stuff. And sometimes we pray for stuff we don't need, but we must confess our sins and ask God for forgiveness in our prayers. And if we pray, we need to break that word down. P-R-A-Y. P means pray. The R means repent. The A means ask God for what you need, not for what you want, but ask God for what you need. And the why is saying yes to God's way and to God's will. That's what praying, that's what we do when we pray. And so, but see, the part about this is we forget about step two, the repentance part. And see, the reason why we do that is because we feel that God has already forgiven us on the cross. And we think this is automatically done without any request. And as we know, Jesus provides new mercy every day. So why don't we ask for forgiveness each day? And I believe it's because we take for granted what the Lord has done for us and go about our day as we are entitled to. See, listen, this should never be a part of our thought process. Looking from the spiritual side of life, we need to be clean from the inside out. Now, naturally, you know, a certain time of year, naturally, if anyone in my side of my hearing tonight own a house or apartment, we usually call the month of April or month of March spring cleaning. And we all get to moving furniture all around and rugs and appliances, and we go all over the house to make sure we clean and reach dirty spots in every hidden area. Well, here I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus wants to do the same thing in your life. You see, some of us will clean the surface of our furniture never get into the nasty and filthy part. But Jesus, but God wants to get to a deep down cleaning in our spirit, in our soul. See, we will go to great lengths and clean our house, but we won't ask God to clean our house. I'll get to that in a minute. And Jesus don't want just us to look good and clean on the outside, but his desire is to make us clean on the inside. And see, there are so many people in the church today are tore up from the floor up, and you would never know it because they are great pretenders, and they can carry themselves as nothing wrong is going on in their life. But the truth be told, we are as dirty as pigs in slop. And see, this is why we need Jesus to clean us up from the inside out. Yeah, you can call Molly Maid and get a great job done on your natural house, but when it comes down to your temple and your spirit, the song comes to mind that says, "Who can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Who can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." All I'm saying is we need a cleansing from the master cleaner, which is Jesus Christ. How can I say that? And how do I know we need a cleaning? Well, I can show you in the Bible. As we look at the scriptures in John 2, 13 to 16, Jesus was on the way to visit the temple. And then no doubt he was indulging. He was on his way to indulge in some Bible study probably, and as it says in verse 13. But look what verse 14 says. As Jesus went into the temple, he found people selling oxen, sheep, and doves on the inside. Now, can we fast forward to the day of church today? Let's be real about this thing. If that was the day of the church now, we know we'd have walked to the church and them folks been selling fish dinners and chicken dinners, candy and CDs, all inside the sanctuary, and the so-called leaders were treating God's house like it was a flea market. And that's what Jesus walked into in the biblical days. And you know how we do. We go to the flea market, and we buy incense and knock off purses and sneakers, that cheap stuff. Y'all know what I mean. It looks real, but it ain't. It's all fake. But see, but then we turn around and then misuse people and take advantage of them and don't know how to conduct, who do not know how to conduct business. So we cheat and mistreat the people by stealing their money. Because he did say it was money changers in there too. Look, let me park right here for a second, because I want to get to the money changers just for a second. Use this for example. The Bible said the money changers, or as I would call them, the money chasers. And see, you have preachers and pastors who use their tithes and offerings as to chase the money. And so they would tell the congregation, if you will pledge a certain amount of money, you will reap a blessing. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. They would come up and say, you got $1,000 line, a $500 line, a $100 line. And they would go all the way down to $5 just to get your money. Now, we're talking about the people who don't care about your soul now. We ain't just talking about those who are called from God and who has heard from God to do these things. But the sad thing about it is that the leaders are misleading the people, making them think that they can buy a blessing. And then you get those people who get into these Ponzi scams and never receive anything for their money by using real estate and investing in stocks and bonds, and because they are money chasers. And so the Bible tells us that we need to beware of wolves in sheep clothing, men chasing after 50 lucre. Now check this out. I'm going to get to the cleaning in the house, because you got to understand, if God is cleaning on the inside, it will show on the outside. Now watch this. Do anybody remember it was a pastor that told his congregation that Jesus was coming back on a certain day, and the pastor told all his members, now watch this, dress in all white and sell all your personal possessions and bring the money to him, and we all go into heaven together. Now, first of all, if you read your Bible, Matthew 24 and 6 and 42 tells you, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. See, it was clear. It says no man, not no one, not even the angel of heaven, but my Father only. And verse 42 said, watch therefore, for ye know not what the hour of your Lord do cometh. Now, that's pure and simply. It's plain as day. But secondly, this what really got me, Pastor Butterfield. If you are going to heaven, what do the pastor need with your money? See, that's what I'm saying. The money changes and the money chasers. And so, it's needless to say that the people did what the instructions from the pastor said, and they arrived at his house to come to find out the pastor had left town. What I'm saying is that we need to see God for ourselves as well as listen to the preacher. This is why we won't fall into the trap of the enemy of looking at people as God and watching people taking care of us in sheep clothing. See, the money changers will have you doing things like that. But look at verse 15 in John, the second chapter of John, verse 15. And so we will understand, well, if God is telling us these things, if we read our Bible, we will understand that we cannot be fooled. Verse 15 says, on John 2, it says, and when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen and the poor pulled out the money changers. We were just talking about that, and overthrew the tables. See, what the scripture is really truly saying, that Jesus really wanted to beat some stuff, some sense into us, and then turn around and beat some stuff out of us and overthrow those tables in our life we call idols. See, those tables that we set up in our lives, We put things on it called idols. And so 2 Corinthians 6 and 16 says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So we have to understand that if God is saying that we should act a certain way and be a certain way, we shouldn't have to worry about chasing money. Even Matthew 6 and 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. The Bible says ye cannot serve God and mammon. But then verse 16 says, and he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Now, I don't know about you, but that caught my eye. Jesus was very clear to speak to those who sold those. He didn't say anything about the people who sold the sheep or sold the oxen, but he spoke. The Bible says he spoke to those who sold the doves. I believe Jesus was upset because the son of the doves got to him, because spiritually doves meant or represent the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, if white doves symbolize a new beginning, peace, fidelity, love, and prosperity. So naturally, think about this naturally. This is why Jesus was upset. Because naturally, if you take a person's food and burn it up, you got a problem on your hands. And so I believe Jesus felt the same way when he saw about the doves. That was personal to him. Are you going to play around with something that and sell something you can't give or make or buy, and have the nerve to play with something that can change your life and help you and clean you up and clean your temple up from the inside out, which is the Holy Ghost. And Jesus was saying to you, you've really gone too far. See, you're making my temple look like a garage sale. That's what he really was saying. And so we just went. Jesus said, you're gone too far. You really have gone too far. But see, then he had to bring them back. And sometimes we need what you call the rod of correction. Luke 19:45-46 says, and he said to them, it is written. Excuse me, go back to 45 first. He said, and he went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold therein and them that bought. So he got both of them, the seller and the buyer. And then he says, and saying to them, it is written, my house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Jesus was saying to the people, what type of house do you think this is? What type of house do you think this is? So this is what brings me to my 3 points for tonight, y'all. We're talking about clean me up or clean us up from the inside out. And that inside out is the house that we're in. And I'm going to tell you tonight, my 3 points tonight is, what type of house do you live in? You have your house, you have the outhouse, and you have the White House. Well, Brother Jones, what do you mean by the three? Well, let's start with your house. Your house is a physical home where your body resides. And most will agree that your home should be a place of peace, comfort, and rest. Your home is where you can relax and escape from the world's issues. And a man would say that his castle is his home. But sometimes we don't have that peace or comfort there. And sometimes we have sleepless nights and anxiety and arguments, and the reality of life sets in to make things a little difficult to rest. And then we like to play house sometimes too. Oh, y'all know what I mean. We like to live together without a written commitment called marriage. We also call it shack it up. And then we want the benefits that comes along with having a house. We want the house, but some of us don't want to make the payments of the house or maintain it. See, we want the good, but we don't want the stuff that goes along with it. And see, naturally, we may experience some of these things, but spiritually, there is no difference. How you ask? Because when you don't allow Jesus to come in and rest in your home and have his presence living there, you will have some sleepless and restless nights. The Bible makes it simple. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, and all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's so important, rest. And in Genesis 2:2 says the same thing. It backs it up and says, tells us that God rested from his work. So if God rests and Jesus wants you to rest, why are we so worn out every day dealing with life? You know why? Because we are not allowing Jesus in our home. If Jesus was truly in our home would be more peaceful. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. He said, let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So our understanding now is that if Jesus is not in it, you won't have peace with it. Let me say that again. If Jesus is not in it, you won't have peace with it. So if you look at the Bible, King Hezekiah had to understand that the temple needed to clean it, your house. See, we go to great lengths to clean our own house, but what about the temple? We'll get to that in a minute. But King Hezekiah said in 2 Chronicles 29:16, he said he gathered all the Levites and directed them to clean the temple. The scripture said the priests went into the inner parts of the house and the Lord to cleanse it and brought all out the unclean that they found in the temple of the Lord in the courts of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad and took it to the brook of Cameron. What I'm saying is tonight is some of us have too many distractions in our home, and it's time to clean our house and get rid of some of that clutter. In other words, naturally and spiritually, we need to throw some stuff away. And everything that is holding us back or holding us down from having a clean house and a better relationship with Christ. See, we're talking about the physical house. God needs to rest in your home so you can have peace. That's your home, your house. Then the second part, and the second point is the outhouse. The outhouse is a stinky, smelly place where people leave waste, which comes from eating and drinking. Now, some of you might have friends and family who lived in the country who didn't have indoor plumbing. I can remember back in the day when my dad was preaching in a place called Surrey County, Surrey, Virginia, and when he pastored there, they had an outhouse. And I can remember my mom going to see her family in Emporia, Virginia, and they had no indoor plumbing, and they had an outhouse. And then in both incidents, you had to take a walk through the wooded area from the house, and the closer you got to the outhouse, you could smell the stinky, smelly waste and urine. What I'm getting at is, spiritually, the outhouse is where sin lives.
Mm-hmm.
See, sin will have you walk into a scary place where you really don't want to go and don't like your surroundings. Sin will have you feeling all alone. This we're talking about the outhouse now. And sin will take you further than where you want to go and make you stay longer than you intended to stay. And so just like the smell from the outhouse that makes you sick, sin is the same way when it reaches God's nostrils. It stinks, it smells, and it makes God sick. See, we're talking about the outhouse. What house do you live in? Your house, outhouse, or the White House? See, especially Christians, we need to know when we willfully sin, it makes God sick from the smell of sin. So we definitely don't want to be in the outhouse. We want God to be in our house. But then thirdly, we have the White House. This is the place where the president lives. But we're not talking about that kind of White House. We're talking about the temple where the Holy Spirit lives. See, the White House is held to a higher standard. So spiritually, white means or present itself as purity, light, and holiness. And the Holy Spirit is looking for a temple or a White House that that he can reside in. See, the White House is your temple, the temple of God, where he wants to reside in. We need to learn that we need to remove anything out of the temple that is not doing us no good so God can replace it with his goodness. We need to empty out so Jesus can pull in. The things that hinder us in our progressiveness in Christ and getting us closer in a better relationship is the things that we allow in our temple. We will allow pride. We will allow bad thoughts. We will allow the job. We will allow our spouses and our boo to get us off track and put stuff in our temple that we should not have inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 makes it plain. He says, says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? We're talking about the White House. The White House is your temple. And it says, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Now, we got to understand, as that song says, your body is not your own. Then the scripture takes a little further and says in verse 20 in 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, he said, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So our spiritual home must be dedicated to Christ. We got to understand that this body, we don't have but one. This body holds the Holy Spirit. This body is the temple of God. Let me put it to you in a different way. Hezekiah Walker wrote a song called Clean Inside. And when you look at the lyrics, all he says through the whole song, won't he make you clean inside? Now, I don't know how many times he said that, but he said, won't you make me clean inside? And they just going to repeat that saying, won't he make you clean inside? Now, if you can't get that, what's wrong with you? But what he's saying to you is, only Jesus can make you clean inside. So when people see you operating in a godly way from theirs, the question should arise to them, what makes you different? And you can honestly say, Jesus has cleaned me up from the inside out. So my question is, do you want to live in your house, or do you want to live in the outhouse, or do you want to live in the White House? See, the Bible tells us in John 14, the White House, which is the Holy Spirit, that lives inside of that house, has to have a place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And John 14 and 16 says in the King James Version, watch this now. He said, and I will praise the Father and shall give you another comforter that ye may abide with you forever. Well, Brother John, what is the comforter? It's the Holy Spirit. Drop down to verse 18. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 23 says, in that same chapter, he said, and Jesus said unto them, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make abode with him. That means he will be there present with you. But here's the great part. Here's the icing on the cake on verse 26. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. This is Jesus talking now. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So what I'm saying to you is that you have to understand that Jesus has already set things in order for you to receive the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost just can't live anywhere. Just like you can't eat at anyone's house and at everyone's house, because everybody don't have a clean house. And we're talking about naturally. See, me personally, I'm not going to eat at anybody's house that have dogs and cats running around freely in their home. And spiritually, it's the same concept. You can't allow trash to enter in your spirit from eating from every table of gospel preached unless it's coming strictly from the Holy Scriptures. See, the old saying is, in the computer world, says, garbage in, garbage out. But if we understand how the Holy Spirit works and we understand what God is saying to us, there is no way that we will live a life that we are doing because of the fact that God wants to get inside of us. See, it's all right to have God on you, but we got to get God in us. See, a lot of us know God, or see what I'm saying? Let me say it right. A lot of us know of God, but we don't have a relationship with God. And a lot of times we get these things mixed up because we think once we get saved, everything is all right. And we don't have to do anything else to work on our faith and work on our spiritual maturity. Let me show you something natural, and then I'll close. Isn't it funny how we go to great lengths to go to vote and to get people into office that we desire in the White House? But watch this. But we won't make an effort to invite Jesus in our own house. Think about that. We will go pick people up to go vote, but we won't pick people up to go to church. And we will get on the phone to ask people, are they registered? But we won't get on the phone to ask people, are they saved? See, but listen, we need our house clean from the top to the bottom, from the rooter to the tooter, as they say. And we will know that God is using us if we allow him to come inside of us and let him reside in us. We won't let people track mud in our house. We'll tell them to take our shoes off and make sure you have clean socks. But we will let anything in the house of God go on. We out there selling lottery tickets and fish dinners and all that other foolishness all in the sanctuary. But we will have more respect for our own home than God's house. See, it's a two-part thing here. See, the sanctuary is the temple where we go to worship the Lord. But as you are living and a human being, you're carrying that temple within your body. And you are the temple, which the Holy Spirit resides in. So all I'm saying tonight is, as I close, what type of house are you living in, and who's in the house with you? See, it's okay if it's your family there in your own home. And it's okay if you got an outhouse and you don't have indoor plumbing. But the thing is, the White House, the house that God wants to live in you, and allow the Holy Spirit to be in you, are you ready to receive him as your guest? The question is, do you have room for him? See, so we're so full of, we are so full of ourselves and full up with everything else, we don't have room for God to reside in us. See, God is not going to send the movers to your house and make you move and make you have room for him. You have to get allow some of this stuff to come out of you so God can get inside of you.
Yes.
And that's why we can go to church and praise God for our 45 minutes and praise the Lord and shout all over the house of God. But we ain't got Christ inside of us. As soon as we get in the parking lot, we cussing somebody out because they bump our car.
Oh, Jesus.
So that's what I'm saying tonight, y'all. What type of house do you want to have? Your house? Or you want to live in our house? Or you want to be a pure, cleansed from God, from the inside out, so you can have the White House. And that whiteness is purity, holiness, and the Holy Spirit living inside of you. I hope you got a word tonight.
Amen.
I just want you to understand that we can't live any kind of way. We have to live holy, and we have to clean some stuff up out of us, throw some of this stuff away. I know some of y'all sound of my voice got stuff piled up from 1974. I don't know what you're holding on to it for because you ain't going to use it again. Get rid of it. And God is saying the same thing about what's inside of us. Why are you holding on to anger from 1982 when you didn't get to go to the prom? Somebody broke your heart. Why are we holding on to stuff still inside our spirit and in our temple who is making us sad and upset that happened because somebody invites you to a party or somebody calls you a name? See, we got to get rid of that junk so we can inherit the comforter. All I'm saying to you tonight is let go and let God, so he can clean you from the inside out. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What a word, man. I'm telling you, it's awesome. Is your wife going to sing?
No, she's not.
Okay.
Are you going to sing? She said, I'm right here. I know you're here, darling. Yes, sir.
Hey, man, we thank God for that word, man. When you start talking about spring cleaning, man, I'm telling you, that's where you make a decision that you're not gonna do the regular, ordinary clean that you do on a regular basis. You're going deeper, and so we have to make sure that we go deeper when we and Bishop Kevin have us in the right place right now where we just went through the road of wholeness, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's some deep stuff where we need, if we want to be whole, we can't just clean the surface. We got to go deep down in some stuff that we had buried in us for years.
Yes.
You know, that closet that you piled everything in that you never go into, you got a room, extra room in your house that you just pile stuff in, you never go in there, and then you decide that, okay, we got to do some spring cleaning and go inside that room. We find some stuff that, oh, my God, I didn't know I still had that in here. And so
right, exactly.
In our consciousness and see the stuff that we have accumulated. Sister Sally, mashed your toe 10, 20 years ago. And somebody borrowed money from you and never paid you. And then you still mad. All this stuff that we have built up inside of us, and we begin to smell like that outhouse. And you know, the Bible say that our righteousness is like a filthy rag. And that's how we put stuff up. We got some stuff that's soaking wet. And instead of us washing that stuff out, we just go push it in a corner. And after a while, by and by, that stuff starts to stink.
Yes.
And so people begin to know, hey, something is wrong with you. When you see people who dealing with some stuff And they, you saying amen, and they saying what? And you say good morning, they say what's good about it? You know they got some issues going on. So we thank and praise God for this word tonight. And those of you out there, please press 1 on your phone so we can hear your comments about this word. If you have a testimony tonight, we want to hear from you. If you have a prayer request, we want to hear from you. Because God is the God who hears and he answers prayer. Press 1 on your phone so we can bring you live. And we can hear this man. We can hear what you have received from this word tonight. You don't want. You got your house, you got the outhouse, and you got the white house. And we want that. We want our house white, thick and span. And I'm telling you, my mama used to teach me how to clean. Amen. When you go to clean those corners, those edges, you know, take your knife and stick in a rag, so you can wipe that. You can get deep down in there.
Yes,
so sometimes we got to do that with our lives. We got to see, check out some stuff that's really almost hidden, but you know it's down there. We need to get that stuff out of our lives, out of our mind, out of our thinking, out of our spirit, so the Holy Ghost can have free course. The Holy Ghost can lead and guide and direct us. You know, it's like the Holy Ghost is a teacher, right? And if you're in a classroom.
Yes.
And you're trying to teach a student, he got the headphone on. He ain't listening to nothing you say.
They ain't learning nothing.
The Holy Ghost grieved by us not wanting to listen to the instruction that he's trying to give us for our help, for our betterment. He's there to lead and guide us in all truth.
Yes.
And so, Minister Jones, I want you to just give our audience tonight, what can they do to start to begin that cleaning? Because when you start that spring cleaning, it's not a one-day thing.
That's right.
And some of us just like, you know, just quick, like they say, quick and dirty.
Mm-hmm.
If it's
yes,
quick,
sir.
It's going to be. So give them some idea what they need to start with and what kind of process they need to really go through to begin to get everything clean out. I mean, from their thoughts, from their heart, from their mind, everything that they deal with from word, thought, and deed, clean up so God and the Holy Ghost can really come in and use them in these last days.
Yes, sir. As I said earlier, we need to recognize that we are God's creation. He knows us already.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no need to go to him being fake and phony. And we praying for stuff. The first thing we know is we have to acknowledge God for who he is.
Amen.
He's a spiritual being in our life. Then second, we got to repent for the foolishness and the sin that we have done. And even if it's willing or knowing or unknowing. See, sometimes we get to the point that we think that just because we say, we don't have to ask God for forgiveness. And we think that we can say, you know what? God knows my heart. He knows your heart, but he knows your intent too. He really do. He knows your heart. He really does. But see, our motive is wrong because we're going to God too proudly. We're not humbling ourselves.
Uh-huh.
So we need to acknowledge God. We need to repent and be truthful about what we're asking God for us to do. See, listen, you would not give your 10-year-old child the keys to the car and have him drive to the store.
Mm.
Why? Because you know they're not capable. And God is saying the same thing to us. He's saying, I know what you're made of. Because I made
uh-huh.
you. And I know
uh-huh.
what you're capable of because I know your heart and your thoughts.
Mm.
And so when we come to him, if we come to him with a pure heart and with humbleness and say, God, clean me up. I know I'm filthy, I'm dirty, and I know I make you stink. I know I stink in your presence. And ask God to do that. And he will say, you know what? Because I love you, I'm going to show you through the Holy Spirit what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And like you said, brother, it's not a one-day thing, because this spiritual walk is a lifestyle. We have to do this daily. Paul said, I have to die daily. That means the thought process, old things that happen in your life, you got to let that stuff go. Because when you're holding on, you know the old saying, when you're holding on to something, they can't put nothing in your hand because your hand's too tight? And God's saying the same thing. He wants to get something to us, but we keep holding on to the old stuff. And we need to learn how to allow God to take over and take control. The old saying is, you know, the old car saying you see on the license plate, God is my co-pilot. Well, I'm telling you right now, you wrong and just as backwards. Because if God your co-pilot, you going where you want to go. So I say let God be the pilot and you be the passenger, because you don't need to be the co-pilot.
That's right.
You let Jesus be the pastor, be the pilot, and let the Holy Spirit be the co-pilot, and you be the pastor.
There you go.
And that way you follow them and go where they send you to go. And like I said, the process is not done just one time. You have to make a conscious decision. Today I'm going to live holy. Today I'm going to do what God had me to do. I'm going to get rid of some of this stuff that's in my life that's holding me down. See, that's why pencil have an eraser on it. You can write some stuff in, but what you don't like, you can flip it over and erase it. But God's saying the same thing. He said all the stuff that's been written about you, that people said about you, can be erased if you allow him to hold the pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to right the wrong in our lives, which is sin. And we need to learn how to let God do what he does and what he does best. Because guess what, Pastor Butterfield? If we knew what we were doing, we would be God. And we know we ain't him.
That's right.
So live this life as God have you to live. And remove some of that stuff out of your life. Because what the enemy wants to do is play reruns of your failure and your sins in your life. But what God wants to do is produce a new movie in your life.
That's right.
Starring the Holy Spirit.
Amen. God want to change the narrative in our lives. You know, the thing about us wanting to clean up, we get so comfortable with stuff in our lives. And and although it's uncomfortable, we get comfortable with it. And,
right.
And we just get used to being in bondage. And so God wants us to be free, to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we have, you know, if we don't repent, like you're saying, the devil will keep our minds locked up where we feel God ain't going to hear me, God ain't going to do this for me. But all we got to do is say,
right,
God, and move on. He's not going to hold that against you. He said he put in the seed of forgetfulness. So we have to make sure that we want to be clean. We want to be whole. You ain't going to get whole unless you want to be it, because it's going to take some work to get that spring cleaning. You ought to spend some money to buy some cleaning stuff. Do a spring clean with soap and water.
I remember
when I was growing up, I was trying to clean up bathroom real, real good, man. And back then they used to use, you know, ammonia.
Yes.
They used to have ammonia in the bottle. Man, I put some ammonia in that bottle, and then I put some pine salt in that bottle. I mean, in that bucket. And, man, I started in that bathroom, closed up, and I started cleaning, boy. Man, all of a sudden, everything got hazy. I couldn't breathe. But because I was trying to get that thing clean, because I know when my mama come home, she want to see that thing spick and span. And so you gotta get in your mind that you want to do whatever it takes to get you clean from the inside out. You're going to do whatever it takes, whether it's getting up 3 o'clock in the morning praying, or reading your Bible, spending time with God when you when you normally be watching your favorite soap opera, when you normally be watching your TV show, but now you're spending time in the presence of God. It's going to take something to get clean. You ain't going to just get clean because you want to get clean, because you know your flesh don't want you to give that stuff up. Your flesh wants you to stay comfortable with that stuff packed up inside of you, knowing that it's stinking. And then others can smell it, because after a while somebody say good morning to you and you're going to say, what good about it? And you see somebody shouting and it make you upset. You see somebody giving God praise and it make you upset. All because that stuff done packed up in you.
Mm-hmm.
It stink. Well, you can't appreciate it.
Let's just, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just want to say something. Then my wife want to say something. You know, when you were talking, I was thinking, about people will say, I'll come to church when I get right. Now,
you know what
would you need to come to church for if you could get right? Because if you could get right on your own, you wouldn't need God to clean you up. So we get that mess. See, the enemy will play stuff on our minds and have us say stupid stuff. I'll get right first before I come to church. Well, brother, if you could do that, you would need Jesus Christ. That's why he's the master cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife wanted to make a comment right quick.
Absolutely.
When you were talking about the cleaning solutions, how it almost took you out, suffocation, that's the same way sin will do you. It gets so overwhelming that the sin could take you out, and you may not die a physical death, but you'll die a spiritual death because you overcome with sin.
Yes. Absolutely.
And if you just allow the Holy Spirit to come in and clean you up from the inside out, then not to say that everything is going to become perfect, but it will get better, because you begin to have a foundation in your life. You've accepted Jesus. You've accepted the Holy Spirit in your life to help to clean things up, and so that you can turn away from that sin.
Amen. Absolutely. Yeah. That is so right. That is so right. It's going to take God. And we got to yield to the Spirit of God, because the Holy Ghost, he want to lead us in the right way. He wants the best for us. That's his job. He's has to take care of us, make sure we go the right way. And we just pull against him over and over. But he just want us to do the right thing. Amen. Thank you so much for that comment. That is awesome. Sin will take you out. It will take you out, sure enough. We thank God that God's grace and mercy is great towards us, and we hear the word of God. We need to yield to what he is telling us. Amen. So we thank and praise God for this word tonight. We honor God. We thank God. We bless you guys' lives, the Joneses. We pray that God will continue to use y'all for his glory and touch your body, your mind, and your spirit, that you would be complete in him.
Yes,
and shalom would be your portion.
Yes,
completeness, wholeness will be your portion in the name of Jesus.
I declare.
Yes, Lord.
Every need is met. Amen.
Yes,
physically, mentally, and financially, and spiritually is met in the name of Jesus. God bless you. God keep you is our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we thank God for this broadcast tonight. We pray that you have been blessed. We know if you heard the word and take it in, you were blessed. Amen. So tell your neighbors and tell your friends every Saturday night at 8 p.m. to dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn of the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield.
Have a great night.